Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15, which can be found on page 1165 of the Church Bibles. Page 1165. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ, and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift.
And if you could just turn back to that second reading we had on in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. So that was on page 1166. So page 1166, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15 was the key verse we're reflecting on this morning. I don't know what your earliest childhood memories are of Christmas. I think for me, probably the earliest memory of Christmas as a child is waking up on Christmas morning and feeling this heavy stocking on the end of the bed. That's sort of my earliest memory from probably 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, one of Dad's hiking socks that was stretched beyond belief and stuffed full with lots of these little wonderful wrapped presents. And there's something magical about Christmas, and I think we feel that even as grown-ups. And it's all tied up with giving and with gifts. I remember a bit later when I was a teenager, I'm one of three sons, so myself and my two brothers went through a bit of a cynical phase about gifts and giving. And we thought the whole sort of getting and giving gifts thing was a bit too much effort. And often you just ended up getting presents you didn't really want anyway. So one year, my two brothers and I decided that we'd just give each other money instead. Because, you know, it's a lot easier than going out and buying presents. And then we realised that actually, if we're just sort of swapping £10 notes, you know, what's the point? I give you a 10-quid note, you give me a 10-quid note. So we thought, well, let's just forget the whole thing. And so we stopped the whole giving gifts thing between us as brothers. Now the three of us are all married and we've got kids, we're definitely back to the whole sort of gifts and giving thing. And I'm really pleased because I think it's a good thing. I think giving gifts and receiving gifts is wonderful. It's part of the magic of Christmas, isn't it? That it is a time for giving and receiving. And we like giving gifts. However much hassle it is, wrapping up your presents and so on, we do actually like giving gifts, and it's part of the magic of Christmas. And I think we all are aware that it would be wrong at Christmas time to be a sort of Scrooge character who's miserly and who's stingy and who just says humbug about all the Christmas traditions. Christmas is a time for giving. And the reason for that is that Christmas, and indeed Christianity as a whole, is all about giving. And the person who started off the whole tradition of giving is God himself, because God is the ultimate giver. The key verse there, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 9, says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible or indescribable gift." What is this gift that God has given to us? Well, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father. So the God of the Bible, he's the ultimate giver. So every good gift in this world, in this created world, comes from God, from his hand. And the Bible says elsewhere that everything created by God is good and is to be received with thanksgiving. So God is generous beyond our imagining. From the Garden of Eden onwards, the devil has tried to convince us that God is not actually a good giver at all. He's not generous. But but that God is a sort of stingy Scrooge figure. But nothing could be further from the truth. God is the most generous giver you could possibly get. And on the bottom of every good gift in this world in which we live, if you look very carefully, you'll see the words, made in heaven. Because every good gift in this world comes from God. He's the ultimate giver. And 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, that we've just read the last little bit of, but those two chapters in 2 Corinthians repeatedly refer to the fact that giving is what God does. Giving is what God does. So, and the word the Bible uses for that is grace. So in chapter 8, verse 1, if you just flick back a page, the Apostle Paul writes, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God." And grace means that God gives. Or chapter 9, verse 14, the verse before our key verse says, it refers to the surpassing grace of God upon you. And God's grace means his undeserved love. It means his generosity, his kindness, which God has freely given to those who deserve the very opposite. God is the ultimate giver. And God in his grace has given us the greatest gift of all. As chapter 9 verse 15 says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." And that gift, if you haven't picked it up already in our service so far, to put you out of your misery, the answer is that gift is Jesus. That gift is Jesus. So chapter 8 verse 9 has this wonderful verse which says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor." The giving God has given us the greatest gift ever, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So God gave Jesus, his Son, into this dark world to be born as a man, and he gave him to die on a cross for us. The Bible says, "He who didn't spare his own Son but gave him up for us all." So God's supreme gift to us, it didn't come sort of specially gift-wrapped in some nice paper, but it came wrapped in cloths in a feeding trough in the first century, and later was nailed to a cross. Christmas, and indeed Christianity as a whole, it is all about God's gift of Jesus to us. So it's not about working hard to be good enough for God. It's not about earning a place in heaven as a reward from God. It's about God's gift to us of Jesus Christ. That means that Christianity isn't about self-help. Apparently the self-help book is an American concept originally, and there are some 2,000 new titles, self-help books, being published in the US every year. How to be happy, how to get rich, how to live longer, and so on. And we're very familiar with this stuff over here now. Christianity is not about self-help. It's not about how I can build a ladder up to God, up to heaven. It is about God's gift to us, which he has sent down from heaven. And that gift is Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Now that word inexpressible or indescribable, it's quite something, isn't it? It's so amazing that you're lost for words. Inexpressible. Have you ever had a gift like that, that you would say, "Well, I'm lost for words. It's just inexpressible, indescribable. I don't know what to say." Apparently one little girl wrote to her granny, "Thank you very much for the nice gloves you sent me for Christmas. They were something I wanted, but not very much." That's true of a lot of gifts we get, isn't it? Someone summed up Christmas shopping as this, Christmas gift shopping: buying presents others don't need with money we don't have. Buying presents others don't need with money we don't have. What have you been given for Christmas this year, I wonder? What's sitting under the tree for you? Apparently one of the best-selling gifts, Christmas gifts in Sweden this year, is something called a bed of nails. So I'm sort of going to be opening my Christmas present at home with gloves on, I think, later today. But bed of nails, apparently it's true. What have you got for Christmas? Pair of socks? An iPad? It's hard, isn't it, to find a present that you would say, this leaves me speechless. You know, I'm so overwhelmed by its perfection or its beauty, it just leaves me lost for words. The Bible says here that Jesus is such a gift, inexpressible, indescribable. That God should give his only son to be born into this world and to die on a cross for us, that is a gift which leaves us struggling for words. In the end, of course, the best gifts are not things, the best gifts are people. We know that, don't we? The best gifts are not things, the best gifts are people. So we may look forward to getting things, you know, new toys, new gadgets, iPads, whatever. But we know they can't make us happy. And we know they can't bring any lasting satisfaction to us or joy. Things are very limited. But people are the best gifts. And we know that, don't we? So last year at this time, when there was that hostage, Peter Moore, who was freed from captivity in Iraq, his family described it as the best Christmas present ever. The best Christmas present ever. Just the other day, a friend who had been trying for a baby for many years found out that she was pregnant. The best Christmas present that she has ever had. Or a dad who managed to get one of the few flights out from Heathrow the other day to be reunited with his family in the States. He would say, well, that was the best Christmas present ever, to be reunited with my family. We know this, don't we? The best gifts are not things, they're people. And so the best gift ever from God is not a thing. It's not forgiveness or peace or a place in heaven. It's not a thing. It is a person, his son Jesus Christ, in whom we find everything that we need. And so at its heart, Christianity is about relationship with a person, with Jesus Christ. And if you've got him, then you've got everything that you need. And if you don't have him, nothing else in this world can make up for his absence. I don't know if you've come across a guy called Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel, an American guy, he was a non-Christian, he was very sceptical. And at the time he was working for the Chicago Tribune as their legal editor. And he's written a little book called The Case for Christmas, and you can take a copy afterwards for free from the table there. And in this book he begins by describing how one winter time he made a visit to a very poor family while he was working on an article about Chicago's neediest people. And so he visited this very poor family. There was a 61-year-old widow, an old woman who had arthritis. She was living with her two granddaughters in a tiny flat, a flat that had no possessions in it whatsoever. But this woman talked very confidently about her faith in Jesus Christ and what he meant to her. Looking back a month later, Strobel said this. He said, as I sat at my desk on Christmas Eve, I continued to wrestle with the irony of the situation. Here was a family that had nothing but faith and yet seemed happy, while I had everything I needed materially but lacked faith. And inside I felt as empty and barren as their apartment. To her, to this elderly woman, this child in the manger was the undeserved gift that meant everything, more than material possessions, more than comfort, more than security. And at that moment, something inside me desperately wanted to know this Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything that you need. No wonder this verse describes him as God's indescribable, inexpressible gift. Well, as we close, how should we respond to God's inexpressible gift? Well, the verse says, thanks be to God. Very simply, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And the appropriate response to any gift is to say thank you, isn't it, and to receive it. And isn't that what you did this morning when you opened your first presents, maybe? Isn't that what you'll be doing when you get home later today? You receive it gladly and thankfully. You open it, you enjoy it. It's no different with God's gift to us of Jesus Christ. He wants us to receive this gift gratefully and gladly. And if you've never, ever done that, what better day to do it than Christmas morning? Why not even today say thank you to God for sending his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for you? And receive him even today as your rescuer and your ruler. You could do that this morning. And for those of us who have already done that, thanksgiving for this gift should be one of the hallmarks of our lives. That we are overflowing with thanks to God for his inexpressible gift to us of Jesus Christ. and that we live lives of gratitude in response. And if we've lost sight of that, if maybe, I don't know, maybe we've become preoccupied with material things instead, if we've lost sight of this attitude of gratitude, there's no better time to recover it than this Christmas morning as we reflect on God's inexpressible gift to us. Another way we should respond is a life of generous giving. A life of generous giving. So we're to be not just grateful livers, but we're also to be generous givers ourselves. These two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, they're actually all about Christian giving. So these two chapters give instructions about finances, about money, what Christians should do with their money. And the Apostle Paul was organizing a collection for the churches in Jerusalem. So why is he talking about God's gift of Jesus? Why is he talking about God's grace in this context? Well, the reason is this, that God's gift to us is the driving force and the motivation and the inspiration of Christian giving. It is because God has been so generous to us that we are to be generous to other people. And so we give because God has first given to us. So God's grace has flowed to us that it might actually flow through us to other people. That is the dynamic. And so Christian people should be some of the most generous people on the planet. Giving money, giving time, giving ourselves in a life of love and good works and service. An overflowing generosity, it should mark the life of the Christian in every single department, because we are the people of the generous God. So God's grace, it's not to terminate in us as the recipients. God's grace is to be reproduced in our lives in generosity to other people. So in the same way, if you've got a mountain lake, and that mountain lake has an inflow of fresh water, then it's got an outflow as the stream goes down into the valley. Christians are to be like that. We're to be like that mountain lake. That God's grace has come to us, that it might then flow out from us to other people. So we're not to be sort of stagnant ponds, just smelly, still water that doesn't go anywhere. God's grace comes to us, that it might flow out through us to other people. And just going back to Lee Strobel again, he goes on to say in that book that he's written that he made a return visit to that needy family in Chicago. And he returned there on Christmas Eve. And he was amazed when he went through the door and he found that their flat was suddenly full of things, full of gifts. And what has happened is that readers of the Chicago Tribune article had sort of taken pity on this family and given them lots and lots of gifts for Christmas. But Lee Strobel was even more astonished to find what this family were doing on Christmas Eve. That they were actually getting ready to give away to other people most of these gifts that they themselves had been given. And when he asked the woman in the house why, this is what she said. She said, "Our neighbours are still in need. We can't have plenty while they have nothing. This is what Jesus would want us to do." And Lee Strobel wrote this. He said, "They had peace despite poverty, while I had anxiety despite plenty. They knew the joy of generosity, while I knew only the loneliness of ambition. They looked heavenward for hope, while I only looked out for myself. They experienced the wonder of the spiritual, while I was shackled to the shallowness of the material. And something made me long for what they had, or more accurately, for the one they knew." Well, that poor family had understood the logic of God's grace. That we say thank you to God for his inexpressible gift to us by becoming lavish and generous givers ourselves. And that not just at Christmas time, but throughout the year. That we give money, we give time, we give ourselves in a life of love and service of others. And we don't do this to earn God's favour, but we do it because we are already the recipients of God's favour, his grace to us. There's a legend that in the 4th century in Turkey, there was a bishop who was an old man, he was a very godly man. And one Christmas he wanted to show how thankful he was to God for his amazing gift of Jesus Christ. And so what he did is he went out to a slum area of the city and he carried a heavy sack on his back. And he knocked on the door of the little mud houses. and he was greeted by the dirty faces of some young children. And he took the pack off his back, and he gave to each of these young children a warm woolen robe each. And then he disappeared, and he went back to his own home. And the bishop was called Nicholas of Myra, and the legend of St. Nicholas, or Santa Claus. And although it's commercialized today, it still has a beautiful lesson to teach us. That having experienced the grace of God to himself, he expressed that grace in giving to other people. I'm sure you've heard before the four stages of life. If the little ones have got their ears closed. The first one is you believe in Santa Claus. Second stage is you don't believe in Santa Claus. Third stage is you become Santa Claus. And the fourth stage is you start to look like Santa Claus. If we are Christian people, we should be becoming more like Santa Claus. That is to say, in lavish generosity, whether or not we start to look like him as the years tick by. And that not just at Christmas time, but throughout the year. And in doing that, we become more like God himself, the lavishly generous giver, the God whom we serve. You know, one of the many misconceptions, I think, of the sort of man on the street about God is that people tend to think God is just some big Father Christmas figure up in the sky. Have you ever heard that? If you say, you know, what do you think God is like? People say, well, oh, he's just a sort of big Father Christmas figure sitting up there. But you know, at one level they're right. At one level they're right. That although it's certainly not a complete description of God at all and his character, it is true that God is the ultimate Father Christmas. He's the best one. He's the most generous giver of every good gift. He is the giver of the inexpressible gift of Jesus Christ. Well, may we be those who, as grateful recipients of this gift, live lives of lavish generosity in response.